always gives us overly and abundantly. Amen? So why don't we go ahead. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father God. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time. I just pray right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, as your holy presence comes and fills this entire place. We know truly we are standing on holy ground. As your angels are here, just ready to minister to us, I just pray, Father, that we will truly decrease so that you may increase in every way, Father. We completely, totally surrender our lives to you. We love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, we're continuing the sermon series called Power. You know, I got to tell you, I recently read this article. It's about this 38-year-old garbage man. He's a former Marine, and he's also a white supremacist. And he had the words pure hate tattooed right on his knuckles, okay? And if you look at him, he looks very angry. He looks very mean. And he's consumed with hatred towards other races other than his own. So one day, while he was shopping at Walmart with his children, his young daughter, maybe like 4 or 5 years old, started to make racial slurs against the people in the store who were non-white. And she looked very angry. She appeared to be just like who? The father, right? And so utterly shocked, you know, the father said, you know, I really think it's time to make a change for them. And he really didn't want them to follow the path that he was on. Thank God he kind of realized that. And so after he and his family watched this Christian movie, you've probably heard of it, right? It's called Courageous. And they watched it together, and this ex-Marine began attending church. Something just told him, I got to go to church. Praise God for that. So 1 month later, he was baptized, and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And so shortly thereafter, not only did he remove the tattooed words, pure hate, from his knuckles, praise God, he said he also completely removed it from his heart with God's help. And he truly learned to love everyone. Everyone kind of looked at him and go, what happened to you? And that's the thing. That's what the power of God's love can do for everyone when you allow it to come in. You change. If you really understand what God's love is about, yeah, it will affect you. And suddenly you realize everyone around you is looking at you and they're saying, what happened to you? And I got to tell you, I had that kind of experience, you know, because I was one person. I would say I was happy most of the time, but a lot of times I was angry at the world. Just like most people, right? They're like, oh, I'm not getting things my way. Oh, I'm not happy. I'm not content. I'm not satisfied. And guess what? Most people of the world, when they have this kind of attitude, they just get more bitter. They just get more angry. So anyway, this man, right, this ex-Marine, he said this. He says, any kind of burdens I carried before, I let them go. And he also added, there's no need to carry things that happened in the past. I forgave all those who wronged me, and I ask forgiveness from those I have wronged. Wow. That's really a presence of God that came upon him. And after you read this, you realize that, you know, God truly has this power, because you've probably seen it in your life. You've probably seen it in other people's life where God's power has that ability to transform a human heart when the person makes the decision to surrender it to him. So in part 7 of this sermon series called Power, we'll talk about the power of God's love that is inside of us. By the way, this is the last of the series, okay? So please pay careful attention to what the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you, because you know what, it's for everyone. And I guess you can say the best for last, because we're going to talk about the love of God, the love of Christ. So I want you to look at that key scripture there in 1 John chapter 4, 15 to 17. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with what? Confidence, because we live like Jesus here in this world. And so from this, we're going to have 3 points. And I underlined it. It's bold. It's italicized. And we're going to discuss these 3 points in this very question here. The question is, when God's love is inside of us, what power can we expect to come forth in our lives? So look at point number one. It says, we have the power to what? To have an ever-increasing trust in God's love that he will not fail us. So when the love of God is deep in your heart, you're going to realize, you know, I can trust in him. I can trust in his love. Think about this. Is there a difference between trusting in God and trusting in God's love? Well, it shouldn't be, right? You can, well, yeah, the very fact is, right? It's the same because God is love, isn't he? But we also realize, think about this, you know, if someone were to ask you, do you trust your mom? And, you know, you can probably say, well, yeah, maybe most of the time. Or what if someone asks you this? Do you trust in your mom's love? Suddenly, is there kind of like a shift in your thinking? Go, wait a minute, I do trust my mom, but do I trust in her love? You know, and the thing is, whether it be our spouse or any loved one, right? When you think about the person's love, I guess the first thing we can think is this person really committed to me? Think about that. And ask yourself, do you think God is all committed to you? Yeah, he is. He loves you passionately. And here's a question I want to ask you. What do you think God's love for you and for me is based on? Is it based upon our works? Is it based upon what we do that makes God love us more or love us less? What do you think? Well, I think the answer can be found in Deuteronomy 7, 7 through 10. I want you to read it to me and let the Holy Spirit speak to you as you read this. Ready? Go. The Lord did not set his heart on you and chose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. We're talking about the nation of Israel, right? Rather, it was what? Simply that the Lord loves you, and he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for how long? A thousand generations, and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. But he does not hesitate to punish and destroy those who reject him. Wow. So just from reading this, can you say you trust in the Lord? He makes these promises. He says, his covenant will be for a thousand generations. And this is for his people, Israelites, and it's for us. As long as we stand firmly on the word of God, as we trust in him wholeheartedly, his promise is to us is it's not only going to be you that will be blessed, it's the generation after generation after generation that will come after you. So there is no doubt that he gives his love in great abundance. And we're talking huge abundance. And if you know that he loves us that much, what can you truly entrust to him? Because if you say you trust him that much, what are you willing to entrust him with? How about your wallet? You say, I'm willing to give all my money to the Lord. How about your car? Your bicycle, right? Whatever it is, right? Are you willing to surrender to him? Maybe your house. No, wait. How about your life? Are you willing to surrender your life to Jesus? Because guess what? Without your life, you can't enjoy anything here on this planet Earth. Your car, your wallet, your money. You can't partake of that unless you have your life. So the question is, are you willing to surrender your life fully unto Jesus? Because that's what he wants from you. He wants to know, are you willing to give your life fully to Jesus? Are you fully depending on him? Because if you are, know that the love of God will fill your heart. The love of God will fill your life. Every time you wake up in the morning, oh, the first thing you're going to really experience is the love of God. You're almost going to experience like You know, Papa God's arms are all around you. He's embracing you with his great love. You know, there's this one pastor who wrote about the time he realized how much his life truly depended on God and how much God really, really loved him. And this is what he says. Just listen to what he says. He says, I can remember two separate mornings in my life when I woke up early because I couldn't breathe. He says, when I woke up, my lungs had stopped breathing, and I realized they weren't taking commands from my brain. He said, so I darted out of bed, standing in the middle of the room with my mouth wide open, prompting my lungs to breathe in air, and finally they opened up again, and after a few moments, I was breathing normally again. And he says, those two moments without breath were terrifying experiences, and I never have found out why that happened. But I do have a new appreciation for life and for breath. And this is what he says. When we sing the song, Breathe, like how we did, right? This is the air I breathe, right? He says, when we sing the song, Breathe, and I hear, this is the air I breathe, your very presence living in me, and I'm desperate for you. It reminds me of my full dependence on God for every breath that I breathe. Wow. Do we have that kind of thinking? Every breath that I breathe depends on God. Whew. When you can think like that, you realize, yeah, I know Papa God is giving me all these breaths. Because why? Because he loves me. He has a purpose for me on this planet Earth. And he says, it evokes all the emotions of gratitude and passion that I have for the Lord and reminds me of the barrenness of an existence without him. See, he says, I'm humbled and honored by God when I'm reminded of all these things. And you know, when he talked about, he stood in his living room, opened his mouth like that, and he realized, I need breath, Lord. You know what this kind of reminds me of? You know, you ever seen those chicks, little baby chicks in their nest? And the mama bird goes and look for what? The worms or whatever, right? And when the mama comes back, what do the chicks do? You ever seen that? Yeah, it's on Animal Planet. It's like amazing. No, that's dog. No, chirp, 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 right? And then so they're like chirping and they're saying, give me food, mama, give me food, right? And so... You know they're totally dependent on who? The mama bird. And we realize we got to be that dependent on God. We realize he gives us the breath of life and he gives us everything else. Amen? You realize every good thing that you have in your life comes from the very hand of God. Why? Because he loves you. He desires nothing but the very best for your life. And we realize, yes, we should open our mouths wide open and realize God will only give us his best when we look to him, we trust in him. But I got to tell you, you know, the devil, he's going to try to come in and he doesn't want you to open your mouth wide open for God. And you know, I got to tell you, this is a true story. In India, there was this policeman that arrested this man, and what happened was this man breathed on him, and guess what happened? The police officer died. Not because of halitosis, bad breath, right? No, you know why? Because he ate curry that morning, and this police officer is allergic to curry, okay? And so when he breathed upon the officer, he had a reaction, and he died within minutes. I want you to understand, we only want the breath of God to be upon us, amen? Because we know, yeah, the devil, he can try to breathe on us too. You tell him, get away. You got stinking breath. Get away from me in Jesus' name, because he will try to breathe death upon you. But we know when God breathes upon you, there is only life. Amen? So we seek after that. We look forward to that because God, he will give it to us, that breath of life, because, yeah, he loves us that much. He desires our lives to get better and better as we live our lives fully devoted to him. I want you to read with me what it says there in Jeremiah 31, 2-3. Read it with me. Ready? Go. This is what the Lord says. Those who survive the coming destruction will find blessings even in the barren land, for I will give rest to the people of Israel. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with what? An everlasting love, with unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Okay, God now, he tells us his love is everlasting. How long is everlasting? Forever, right? Never ends. It's unfailing. In other words, it's perfect. His love can never fail you. Can another person's love for you fail? Oh, yeah. Come on. Doesn't matter. You can say it's your spouse, your parents, your whoever, right? Yeah, because we're human, yeah, we can fail each other with our love. But God's love says, uh-uh, it will never fail you because I love you that much. And it's very important to remember that the love of God that is inside of you, it's inside of me, it is huge. And he loves you so much, you can truly count on him in every area of your life. Because, yeah, like I said earlier, it's one thing to say, yeah, I trust in God. But it's another thing to say, really, I trust in God's love. Try saying that more often, because we can say that, right? In God we trust, right? It's even on our money. But can we now say, I trust in God's love? Well, just see what kind of effect that can have on you. Whatever trial you may be facing right now, you can say, I trust in God's love. And see what kind of effect that will have on you. Because if you understand how much he really loves you, you know he will not disappoint you. Amen? You can know that God, he will bring it to pass. He will bring his goodness to come to pass in your life as you hold on to his word. Let's read what it says here in Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. The what? Oh, I love this. The mighty warrior who what? Saves you. He will take great delight in you, in his love. He will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. So here we know that God tells us he is the mighty warrior. In other words, he fights for you. When you are experiencing grief, you're experiencing sadness, you're experiencing despair in your life, God says, I'm fighting for you. Because sometimes, yeah, life can throw us a sour apple. You know what I'm talking about? And it ain't pleasant. But we know God, he can easily turn that into such a thing of beauty, right? Whatever it is, God can easily turn around. But you got to hold on to his promises. You got to hold on to his word, because it tells us in his love, he will no longer rebuke you. Because, yes, come on. There may be times that we fail him, because, yeah, I fail him sometimes too. I say things or do things I know is not pleasing to him, yet I still do it. Come on, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, don't say, oh, but you're pastor, Ben. No, don't matter. I'm human. I'm flesh just like you. And I make mistakes. But I know that God forgives me and that he will never stop loving me, even though I may be deep in my sins. I know God, he never takes his eyes off of me. He's just waiting for me to turn it around, to turn and repent to him. And he promises he will never leave us. So you may ask, so why then, Pastor Ben, does it seem like sometimes he's not there? You guys ever ask that question? Did you ever feel like at times you're wondering, is God really here right now? Is he really watching me? Is he really seeing what's going on in my life? Because I'm really hurting right now. You ever felt like that? I'm sure, right? Come on, I know. You probably been there, and I've been there, right? Where's God? Well, I want you to listen to this poem that may help to answer this question. Just listen. The name of this poem is called, Where Were You? Okay, just listen to this. Where were you, Lord, when my heart was breaking in two? I was there, the Lord said, holding it together for you. Where were you, Lord, when fear showed its face to me? I was there, the Lord said, protecting you from its grasp and keeping you free. Where were you, Lord, when circumstances turned my joy to pain? I was there, the Lord said. Those were my tears that you felt, not tiny drops of rain. Where were you, Lord, when my eyes were blinded and I could not see? I was there, the Lord said, guiding you where you needed to be. Where were you, Lord, when I thought for me death would be best? I was there, the Lord said, giving you purpose, giving you rest. Where were you, Lord, when storms of life encircled me? I was there, the Lord said, surrounding you with my arms and holding you next to me. Where were you, Lord, when confusion came and I didn't know what to do? I was there, the Lord said. I placed peace inside of you. Where were you, Lord, when around me my enemies did swarm? I was there, the Lord said, protecting you from harm. Now the Lord, he asked this question. Where were you, my child, when I called out your name? The response, I was busy and I didn't hear you, Lord. I'm sorry and I'm ashamed. And the Lord says, your repentance has been heard. I forgive you, said the Lord. It is the heart inside that I see. When you're in need, hey, just call on me. That's all you got to do. You just got to call on him, and he will be there. His presence will come. You can count on it. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. Because just like any loving parent, yeah, he's truly devoted to us. And we got to be fully devoted to him. Amen? I want you to look at point number two now. It says, the power to have our love grow more perfect with God's love inside of us. And in verse 17, that's what it says, right? It says, and as we live in God, our love grows what? More perfect. And you got to think about this. You may ask, wait a minute, Pastor Ben. If something is already perfect, how can it be more perfect? Because you think about it, perfect is what? Like 100%, right? That means no mistake, right? Perfect is like zero mistake. So how can our love be more perfect? Because it's 100%. Wait, we're going to go over 100%? Is that possible? Well, simply with our own human ability, of course, right? We can never be perfect in this human body, in this flesh, right? But guess what? When we ask God to come in to our lives, guess what? He makes our heart his home. And so God's love takes over. That's what happens to a Christian. You got to understand, our love, our human love is still in us. That's our heart. That's our soul. That's who we are, how much we are able to love with our own ability. But when a person asks Christ to come in to this life, what happens is, as you truly desire to live according to his word and you love the way God loves, guess what? You're going to attain this perfection of God's love in your heart, in your love. And that's why it's so important. We got to choose how God loves. And we know what God tells us to do, right? He doesn't simply tell us, oh, just love the people who love you already. That's all you got to do. They love you. Well, love them back. That's all you got to do. Don't worry, nothing else. No, what else does he tell us to do? Love your enemies. Oh, that's one that we know we cannot do on our own. Don't even attempt to, all right? Because it ain't going to work. You can force yourself. It ain't going to happen. You got to let the love of Christ, the love of God, get so deep within your heart and soul, you realize, no, the only way I'm going to do this is through the power of God, the power of God's love. And when God's love takes over, guess what? Our hearts, our love grows to be more like his, which is perfect. Amen? You get this? Because it's so important to understand this because, you know, we will never attain this perfection of God's love inside of us unless we realize it's not us that's going to be enabled to do that. No, it's God's power that is going to allow that to happen. I want you to look what it says in 1 John chapter 4, 7-8. Read it together. Ready? Go. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because what? God is love. God is what? God's love. Does it say God has love? Well, he does have love, but he is. He's equated with love. And where is this love again? It's in you. It's in me. So you say God is in me? Yeah. It should be that love. God's love is in you. And you should be loving the way God loves us. I want you to look what it says in 1 John chapter 4, 11 to 12. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So think about this for a second. Who has to take the first mode of action, I guess you can say? It says what? If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. We got to make that first choice to say, I'm going to love that person, even though this person is giving me a super hard time. He's making my life miserable. We got to say, I'm going to choose to love. Because guess what? We're not like a robot or a machine or a computer where God can program us to love when we don't feel like loving. We still got to make that first step, that first choice to say, I'm going to choose to love because I know that's what God wants me to do. And when you just make that first step, guess what? God is going to perfect it. He's going to increase that love because you're willing to do it for him. You're saying, Lord, I don't feel like doing this at all because come on, I know you probably felt that. I felt that. Lord, I really don't want to love this guy. You know, he's giving me such a terrible time. I don't know if I can do it, Lord. And God says, take that first step, Ben. Just make a decision. I want to love him. I want to love him. Not I will, I want to. And guess what? God is going to take over. And suddenly, as you are willing, suddenly you're going to go, yeah, you know what? I should. And I should becomes, yeah, I really want to. And God, he will take over. Trust me, he will. But you got to have that willingness to take that first step. And you know, the only way that this would really happen, we got to be here in this church in fellowship. It's so important because guess what? The world not going to understand this kind of love. But we should. Because we read it in the scriptures, and we know what the Bible says. It says that we are to love deeply. We're to love even our enemies. So we got to gather here in this place. It's called a church, but you know what? It's not about the building. It's about what? You probably heard this before. It's about the people, right? The brothers and sisters that are gathered here. That's all around you. Guess what? It should be we have the same way of thinking, right? The way we think, it should be similar, right? It's not going to be totally the same, but it should be that our minds are set on the Word of God. Let me ask you something. When you come to church, do you get excited about it? Well, we should, but do you really? I mean, really get excited? You could, it's like, you know, maybe you go, when you were a teenager, you go to a concert. Wow, I'm going to go watch Journey. Wow, I'm so excited, right? I'm going to watch Sting or whatever, right? When you were a teenager or whatever, right? I mean, do you get this kind of excitement? Wow, I can't wait to get to church, man. Oh, I got to run to church because I can't wait to see my brothers and sisters. Oh, I can't wait to worship the Lord. Oh, do you get this kind of excitement? Or you maybe go to a stadium. You think, oh, my favorite team is playing. Wow, I can't wait to get there. Do we have that kind of excitement? Do you think most Christians have this kind of excitement? Well, maybe some do, but I'm going to tell you something. Look what it says there in Psalm 122:1. You can see what David is saying here. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Wow. He sounds excited, doesn't he? Can you say the same? That, you know, the very fact you're coming to church is not because for the pastor or for somebody else? No, it's for God. You want to come to church because you want to give your best to the Lord. You want his love to be ever so increasing upon you as you step foot into where God has placed you as your church home. You get so excited because you know the presence of God will be magnified when you enter in, because he sees you. He knows you're here. You're giving him your worship. Amen? And as you do this, the love of God increases even more, because you're doing this for him. Nobody else, but for him and him alone. And you got to realize something. You can say the church is a training ground for all of us who call ourselves Christians, right? This is training ground so that we can truly love the world the way God wants us to love them. And we realize if we cannot love each other, how in the world are we going to love people in the world? People who defy God, the people who reject God, people who may give us a hard time. We got to learn to love each other here deeply. Like I said, it's a training ground, because you got to remember, when we're gathered together like this, the presence of God, oh, it is magnified. God's presence just comes powerfully when he sees his children together here in the church. No wonder David longed to be in God's house, because he was called a man after God's own heart. And why? Because his heart was filled with so much love, the love of God, and from all the brothers and sisters that were with him, that filled his heart with the very love of Christ, the love of God. You know, one pastor, he commented this in his sermon. Just listen to what he says. He says, "It is sad that many people, even some who claim to know Christ, take so little interest in his church. Not talking about the building, we're talking about the people, the church that he purchased with his own blood." He says, "Some people only show up on important occasions in life. The only time the pastor ever sees some people is when they're hatched, matched, or dispatched." And what he says, "We see the family when the children are born and dedicated to God, when marriage takes place, and when they what? When they die," right? And sometimes it's true for some people, right? And he says, "We should teach our children a proper appreciation for the love in God's house, the loveliness of God's house, and the life in God's house." Because really, it should be when you step in here, or any church for that matter, you should say, "I'm stepping into the love of God." Really, you're saying, "I'm stepping right into the love, the presence of God." And whoever comes in, they could be someone new. Oh, immediately, you just let the love of Christ be showered upon them. That's what a true church should be, that we're going to love everyone regardless of who they are. I want you to look what it says there in 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 to 20. Read it with me. Ready? Go. "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." Wow. So if we say we hate someone, the love of God may not be in you. Because, first of all, we know God is love. And you say God is in you. How is it that we're going to hate someone? Because you can, you know, hate someone for maybe a little while. Maybe, you know, someone cuts you off in the road. "Oh, I hate that guy, what he just did to me," right? Or, you know, but it should not be like you live your life full of hatred. You allow that hatred to grow. I mean, that's not a true mark of a Christian, because we have the love of Christ inside of us. You know, let me tell you about this situation that happened to Abraham Lincoln. You know, he was running for president of the United States, and there was a man named Mr. Stanton who ran around all the country talking about Lincoln. And he said a lot of unkind things about Abraham Lincoln. And sometimes he would even talk about his looks. He would say, "You don't want this tall, lanky, ignorant man like this to be the president of the United States." You know, he would say it in such a stinking kind of way, you know. And so finally one day, Abraham Lincoln, guess what happened? He became president of the United States. And came the time, right, for him to choose a secretary for war, the secretary of war. So he looked across the nation, and he decided to choose a man by the name of, guess who? Mr. Stanton, right? And so when Abraham Lincoln stood around his advisors and mentioned this fact, right, they said to him, Mr. Lincoln, are you a fool? Do you know what Mr. Stanton has been saying about you? Do you even know that he has been trying to ruin your reputation? Did you read all those derogatory statements that he made about you? What are you thinking? Why do you want to even consider this? So Abraham Lincoln, he stood before his advisors, right? And he said to him, oh yeah, I know about it. I read about it. I heard all that he said about me. But after looking around the country, I found that he is the best man for the job. And you know, Mr. Stanton, he did become the Secretary of War. And later, Abraham Lincoln, he was assassinated, right? And if you go to Washington now, you know, you will discover that one of the greatest words or statements ever made about Abraham Lincoln was made by who? Mr. Stanton. You guessed it. And as Abraham Lincoln came to the end of his life, you know, Stanton, he stood up and he said, now he belongs to the ages. In other words, everyone's going to remember this great man. And you know, he made a beautiful statement concerning the character and the stature of this man. And just think about this. If Abraham Lincoln had hated Stanton and fought back every time he attacked him, oh, Stanton would have never changed. And Stanton would have gone to his grave hating Lincoln, and Lincoln would have gone to his grave hating Stanton. And you know, we got to understand, with the power of God's love, Abraham Lincoln was able to redeem Stanton, because Abraham, he believed in God. If you read a lot of the writings he had written, you know he is a true man of God. And we realize he really followed what the scripture said. He knew he had to love regardless. People can hate you. People can say mean things about you. As Christians, we got to choose love. Because guess what? That's what God wants us to do. You could say it's a requirement from God. God will never force you to do it. But the real example of Christ is the fact that you're willing to love, yeah, when you don't feel like it. When you really don't want to. You say, I'm going to do it because I want to please my Father God. I want you to read what it says here in John 15, verses 12 to 14. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone who laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I what? Command you. And with a commandment, do you have a choice? When somebody commands you, okay, this is our Lord God, our Lord and Master, as we call him. He commands you. He says, I command you to love one another. Do we have a choice? Well, if you love him, yeah, you should say, yes, Lord. And ultimately, you can say, yeah, I still have free will. I have a choice, right? But, here's that but, if you really love him, yes, you will. You will love, even when you don't want to, because you know that's the love of God in you that chooses this. I want you to listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 4, 7 to 8. Read it with me. Ready? Go. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show what? Deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. And so here's the thing. You got to understand, you love have to be deep, not superficial, because superficial means, oh, I love you. Okay, you can say, oh, I love you too. And then next thing you know, oh, that bugger, and I like him, right? I mean, it could be like that, right? But deep love says, you know, I know he's not being so nice to me, but you can still say, I love you. And as you say, I love you, you're saying, Lord, please help me to really love this person more. You see the difference? You know, you're asking God to help. Even though you don't feel like it, you're saying, Lord, please help me because I want to. You be honest with the Lord. Say, I'm having trouble, but help me, Lord. Help me to love this person even more. Wow. Do you think that pleases God? Oh, yeah, it does. You're going to expect a reward. God's going to reward you as you choose to do things his way. It tells us, for love covers a multitude of sins, no matter what the sin is, right? It could be hatred, anger, all the negative feelings, all the worst of the worst things. When you choose to love with the love of God, it covers it. It almost like you can say smothers it. That the love of God, when it comes, yeah, it will heal relationships. It will bring forth God's blessings because you choose to do it God's way. I want you to get point number three now. It says, God's love inside of us assures us with great confidence that we are his and that we will be with him forever. Okay, we're talking about God's love assuring this. Because remember, when you can experience his love, you know that he loves you so much. And that you can be guaranteed that on that day, you're not going to be worried, you know, oh, is God really going to let me inside? Oh, I don't know. And you may be standing there going, I kind of remember all the bad things I did. I remember I had one really dirty mouth, you know. And even as a Christian, man, I never swear in front of people, but when I'm alone, I said some bad thing. I still say swear words. Oh, I don't know. Maybe he's not going to let me in. Come on. Some people, I don't know. They may think that. No, you don't have to worry. The whole thing about this is right now, does your heart belong to Jesus? Are you putting him first above all things? And, you know, it's interesting. I remember having a discussion with Benson the other day. We were driving the car. You know, I'm in the car with him a lot. So I just asked him, I said, Benson, how does a person really know that his heart belongs to Christ? I mean, how do we know for sure that God is first in this person's life? You know what? My son, he told me, he says, Dad, I really believe it's what you think about when you first wake up. Who do you think about? And I said, well, who do you think about? Or what do you think about? And he said, well, you know, could be about school, about the test, or whatever, right? But then he says, I think about God, how God can help me. I go, oh, that's an excellent answer. I go, so yeah, you can think about your problem, but then you think, okay, what will God do to help me? And, you know, I kind of thought about it, and I said, yeah, you know, Benson, you know, here's the thing. Lately, you know, my back's been kind of aching. You know, I get my body kind of sore. I'm getting older, you know, and stuff. So you know, as I wake up, you know, it's like the first thing I think, oh, my back. And, you know, John Lee, she hears me, you know, I'm getting out of bed. And I was like, oh, my back. And then and the first thing I say, I told Benson, I said, oh, God, help me. You know, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord. And you know, and the thing is, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, you can get your mind on your problem first, but what do you do afterwards? You say, Lord, help. Lord, I don't have the strength to do this on my own. Lord, I need your strength. Please help me. This is how the love of God will get bigger and stronger in your life. When you show to him how much you depend on him, the greater your dependence on him, the greater the love of God will flow into your heart because you're telling him, man, I know, Lord, I can trust in you. I have confidence in you. I want you to look what it says here in the second part in verse 17. It says, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with what? What does it say there? With confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. And can you say that? That I am totally confident because anyway, you don't have to worry. On the day of judgment, we're not going to be judged based upon, you know, all the bad things, all the terrible things we've done in our life. We're going to be judged on the works, what we did for Christ. Amen? The world will be judged on their actions, right, on their sins and all that. But as children of God, we will not be judged for that. We'll be judged according to our hearts of what we did in service to the King. So here's the thing. There should be no shame when we start to realize that truly God, he's for us, that we should have no shame, that on that day we stand before him, we know we're going to enter into the house of the Lord, that we're going to be forever with him, and that knowing that we live our lives, yeah, it was not perfect because no one is perfect. But the whole thing about this, we knew that our hearts belong to him. I want you to look what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Read it with me. Ready? Go. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, what happens? We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so we know the great love of our Father God has been lavished upon us. What does the word lavish mean? Great abundance. So you know he loves you with such great abundance, you know he's not going to fail you. And on that day, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be thinking, okay, am I going to really make it in? You know, no, you will, as long as you know you're living a life that is really devoted to him, that you know you put him first, that you really, really love his son, Jesus Christ, because he says, we know that when Christ appears, we're going to be like him. Wow. I mean, we're going to be like Jesus. I mean, physically, spiritually, we're going to have perfect bodies. I hope you guys know that. We're going to be free from disease, free from pain, free from suffering. We're not going to have any negative feelings. We're going to be fully in the presence of God. We're going to be like Jesus. This is what the scripture says. We're going to be like him. And we know that, you know, our Father God, he's just waiting for us. You know, the day will come. We're going to be in his presence. I mean, we know his presence is here right now, but we're actually going to be face to face with him. I like what Pastor Max Lucado said in his sermon. Just listen to this. He says, if Father God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. He said, if he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every springtime and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he will always listen. Isn't that true? That's what our Father God does. And that's why you can trust his love. You know that his love is real for you. I want you to look what it says here in Romans 5, 8 through 9. Read it with me. Ready? Go. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Wow. So once again, because of his love, his great love, you can be assured that you are saved. You got to have that perfect assurance. Don't, you know, say, I think so. I think I'm saved. I think I will make it into heaven. I mean, why do we have this kind of uncertainty? Just think about God's love, because it is by God's grace that you are saved. It's not by so much your works. It's by his grace, his love for you, that you know you're going to be welcomed in into the presence of God forever. You know, there was this a certain man that had died, and he had no heirs. So when his household goods were auctioned off, an elderly lady dressed in shabby garments was the only one to bid on the picture of the dead man's son. So it had been greatly cherished by this wealthy father because his only child had died at a very early age. So the crowd had gathered together and, you know, they were looking to see what would be sold, you know, what would be on sale on his estate. But you know what? No one showed interest in this picture of this wealthy man's son. So, however, there was this woman that showed interest and she bought it. And so when the woman who bought the portrait was asked why she wanted it, she said, you know what? She had been there as the boy's nurse many years before and had loved him dearly. And later, she examined the picture closely and she noticed there was this bulge in the heavy paper on the back of the portrait. And so making a small cut, she removed an envelope and it turned out to be the man's missing will. And the document very clearly stated that he wanted to leave his property to the person who will still held there the memory of his beloved son. It's a true story. And so this woman is representative of any child of God who, because of love for his beloved son Jesus, receives the greatest inheritance known to humanity, that we will spend eternity with our Lord God, that we have eternal life. And every believer, we got to give thanks for that because we remember his son. Never, ever doubt God's love. If you truly cherish his son, you love Jesus with all your heart, I'm going to tell you, Father God will lavish his love upon you. If you put God first above everything else, oh, God's love will be lavished upon you. I want you to look what it says here in Galatians 2:20. Read that with me. Ready? Go. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I got to tell you, this is my, I guess you can say my life scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, I have been put to death with Jesus. And now I'm alive in Christ because when he resurrected, he's alive in me. Amen. And that's where we got to have that same kind of mentality, that because he loves you that much, he was willing to give up his life for the brethren, for you and for me. He gave himself up for you and for me. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. I want you to read with me what it says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Read it with me. Ready? Go. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will what? What does it say there? Empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Wow. And you know he will empower you with his love. And the very fact when he empowers you with his love, what does it say there? Christ will make his home in where? Your heart. Like you probably heard me say it before, where Jesus' address is, yeah, just take a look down at your chest. He lives there. He lives inside of your heart. He lives inside of my heart. The question is, knowing that he's there, are you going to take Jesus to places you know you shouldn't be? Or be in places where you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at, or listening to things you shouldn't be listening to? Because guess what? He's in your heart. And you never want to make Jesus uncomfortable. Think about that for a second. Because sometimes, yeah, we do, right? We say things or we do things that we know aren't pleasing to God. And he is living in your heart. And he may be telling you, oh, come on, brother. Don't do this. We got to listen. Amen? We got to say, Lord, yeah, give me the strength to get out of here. Because sometimes we don't want to. That's the honest truth. And we got to say, Lord, I know I shouldn't be doing this. Lord, give me the strength. And we know we want to please God. And we got to let his love grow deeper and stronger in us as we obey his word. I want you to look what it says in Corinthians 13, 11 through 13. Read it with me. Ready? Go. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. This is Apostle Paul talking, right? It says, when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see what? Face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Is love, right? And I want you to understand, because right now we can say, yeah, we're experiencing the love of God. I know what the love of God is. But you know what? It's more like a reflection. You see it in the mirror. Yeah, I know God's love. I know what it is. But it's a reflection. You know it's real. But guess what? Imagine the day we're actually going to be face to face with Jesus. Oh, I can only imagine. I'm just talking about getting chicken skin. You know? Wow. You know, we're all going to be standing before Jesus. We're going to see him face to face. You can say, I understand God's love. I know what it is. But just imagine when you're actually right in front of him. Wow. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. You know, now it's a reflection in the mirror, yeah, but we will actually see him face to face. And he says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. We can say, yeah, we know all this, but when you're actually in the presence of Father God and of Jesus, guess what? You're going to experience love. I mean, that's the number one thing. I believe in heaven, the greatest emotion, the greatest feeling we're ever going to experience is love. That's what it says. The greatest of these is love. The question is, Are you showing that right now? We're not there yet in our eternal home, but guess what? You got to start utilizing it more, because guess what? In heaven, that's all there's going to be. So you know what? Start showing it. Show to people really the love of God. You know, if you came to Wednesday night Bible study, remember I told you guys my friend sent a text. You know, you guys remember that? Who was here on Wednesday night? Most of us, yeah. And, you know, I got to tell you, you know, my friends, I've been witnessing to them, I don't know how long, but they still kind of like are resistive. And I love them, you know, and but they know, they always say, Ben, you're praying for us, aren't you? I said, yeah, you know I am, you know, and because I love you guys, right? But, you know, one guy sent this, right? And it says here, God prefers kind atheists over hateful Christians. Right, you see that? And, you know, the thing about this is, right, you kind of, when you look at this, you kind of go, wait a minute, is this something that I should be receiving? Because it is from this church called Rose City Park United Methodist Church. But, you know, you look at this, I'm thinking, okay, I get what they're saying. You know, basically it's saying we should love at all times. God wants everyone to love at all times. But when you look at this, it says here, God prefers kind atheists. Atheist is someone who doesn't believe in God. So even if they're kind, is that okay with God? Because you know what? Being nice and kind won't get you into heaven, right? But we know if someone is hateful as a Christian, I mean, okay, we can hate every now and then. You know, someone does something, okay, I hate that guy. But eventually you say, no, that's not right. Lord, help me not to hate. Help me to love, right? But for a person who's always hated, I mean, they live a life, you know, just calling people racial slur names and all that. I mean, and they say, I'm a Christian, right? I'm going to tell you, no such thing. You cannot be a hateful Christian and say, okay, I love God. No, the Bible says you cannot say you love God and you hate a brother or sister or hate someone else for that matter. It should be that your love is an example of God's love. Amen? And so, you know, I want to say this because I look at this. I'm thinking, why would the church put this? You know, because, you know, the world already see Christians as being hateful people. You know, they see us as being bigots. Why? Okay, here's the reason why I believe a lot of, you know, people of the world, they see us as being hateful people because we stand on what is truth. We know what is wrong and we say, you know what, that's not right. You know, that we tell people, oh, you shouldn't be living that kind of lifestyle, whether it be homosexual or whatever, or fornication. And you say, but, you know, sometimes people say, oh, but as long as they love each other, why you got to butt in, right? And see, you're a bigot. You're a hater. But are we really? Or are we just trying to show them what is truth? So if that's the case, then we know, right? It shouldn't be that you know, we put this sign up like this. It's like the world can agree. Say, yeah, see, even these Christians know that they're hateful people. And so we shouldn't say this. We shouldn't say, yeah, you know, that we are hateful. No, the fact is, right, we are representations of the love of Christ. Amen? And it should be that we have a sign like this. We love hurting people. Do you love hurting people? Because I got to tell you, people who are hurting, because can we hurt too? Yeah, we got problems, we got pain, we got suffering sometimes, right? But are we welcomed into the house of God? Because, you know, sometimes we think, oh, yeah, we shouldn't let that person in. But we love hurting people. It should be that, you know, like one person said, it's just like we're a spiritual hospital. We're letting in people who are spiritually hurting. They're in pain. They're depressed. They're down. Are we willing to say, come on in, and we're going to put the love of Christ on you. We're going to show you what the love of Christ is all about. Because ultimately, you know what? Here's the thing. We know the devil. Is he working against us with God's love? Yeah. And you know, how much of your heart do you think, you know, can be given to the devil to the point where he will utilize all of your heart to bring hatred into it? I'm going to tell you. Here's the answer. I like this one. Give the devil an inch and he will become your ruler. Get that? Give the devil an inch, and he will become your what? Your ruler, like a ruler. You know, I don't have to explain it, right? But you get it, right? But is it true? You give the devil an inch of your heart. I'm going to just hate that one person. That's all. I'm going to hate that person. Everybody else I love. No, the Bible says you give the devil just an inch, just a little bit of hatred towards someone. He's going to rule your heart. Suddenly you're going to hate the other person. You're going to hate that person. You're going to hate that person. You're going to hate everyone. That's what the devil does. Don't let him become the ruler of your heart. The Bible says, let Christ rule your heart. Amen? And as you do, you know the love of God will only get deeper, will get stronger. Amen to that. Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Father God, we realize, oh, how much we need you. Because Father God, we truly want to be good examples of what your love is all about. And I know the world, they may look at Christians and they go, wow, they're hateful. They're full of hatred. They're full of bigotry. But Father, we know if we're standing on the truth, they can say all they want. But Father, we're going to show them the love of Christ no matter what. And Father, we know the only way we can do this is we need your help. Like the song we sang, we're so desperate for you, Father, because we know if these are the last days, we got to show to the world that, you know, time is getting close. We cannot think, okay, maybe next time. No, we don't know if there's a next time. We got to tell them, you got to make this decision for Christ now. And you got to show them you want them to make this decision because you love them and that you want to see them in eternity. But the only way this will happen is they have to give their heart to Christ now. And in your heart, you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I realize that maybe I didn't have this kind of urgency. Maybe I kind of thought, oh, maybe someday, you know, this person may come to know Christ. Well, the very fact is, if you love this person, show them the love of God right now. Don't hesitate. Just speak forth what God has done for you in your life. And just let them know that their love of God is so real. And this is the cry of your heart. You're saying, Lord, please forgive me those times I didn't take the opportunity to share Christ, to share who you are when I knew I should have. But Father, help me to truly be that example of your love. Because, Father, if I don't, the world will just see me as just like anybody else. And they may not want to know Christ because I'm not showing them a good example of what a Christian should be. If this is the cry of your heart right now, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Father God, forgive me of those times that I didn't step up or I didn't really show the love of God when I was supposed to. Father, help us all because we all are desperate for you. And I pray as my brothers and sisters truly desire to tell the world about who your son Jesus Christ is, I pray you will give them boldness. Give them great boldness. Give them your strength and your wisdom to say what they need to say so the world who is so lost will come to find who Jesus is. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's all